101.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Werner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Werner.
brains. Because they don't know what he's done for you. Maybe that's why they're whispering behind your back. Talking about it, don't take all of that. Because they don't know when you were sick and God healed your body. They don't know about that time when you were broken down to your last time, but the Lord made a way out of no way. Come on, if you really love him this morning, get on your feet and give him some praise. Tell that neighbor, after all that I've been through, I still have a praise. I still have joy. Oh yeah, he's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. God bless our choir. Thank you, choir. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, Matthew, chapter 7, and we will read into your hearing verses 21 through 23, as we shall talk about the Lordship of Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. For just a few moments this morning, I want to talk about the Lordship of Christ. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. This text alerts us to a very staunch reality. And that reality is that our relationship with Jesus hinges not only on our association with him as Savior, but it is also important that we know him as Lord. Jesus wants to be our Savior, but not only that, he wants to be our Lord. And it's difficult to imagine that some who have shouted and some who have gone the extra mile to look like a Christian and to act like a Christian, it is difficult to imagine them not entering the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know someone is sitting there and they're saying, now, wait a minute, Reverend, the Bible says and the Bible teaches that salvation is a free gift, that it's a result of God's unmerited favor toward us. And I would say, you're right, salvation is a free gift, but I've come by on this Sunday morning to tell you that there are costs associated with lordship. Remember, he not only wants to be our Savior, he also wants to be, as a matter of fact, he demands to be our Lord. And this word Lord simply means master. It means that Jesus wants to be in control of our lives. And I know right there, some of you tuned me out. I know right there, amen, and you've already started thinking about something else. Because the last thing we want to hear as human beings is that someone wants control of our lives. It goes against our nature. It goes against everything we believe in. We like to be the masters of our own fate. We like to be at the helm of our own destinies. But my brothers and sisters, if we're really serious about making heaven our home, we have to say, Lord, I decrease that you might increase. We've got to be willing to say, Lord, I allow you to have control of my life. Most Christians have never given Jesus control of their lives. And my brothers and sisters, the seriousness of this text goes beyond something that sounds good. It goes beyond what we want to hear. I know that this is not something the average person wants to hear. A story is told of an elderly man who was vacationing on one of the islands in Hawaii. As he was lying in the hotel room, someone came to his door knocking frantically saying, "You've got to evacuate. Tsunami is coming." Amen. You've got 1 hour to get out of here because tsunami is coming. The man didn't even know what tsunami was, but he soon found out that it was a tidal wave because an earthquake in Alaska had caused this tidal wave to form and head towards Hawaii. The natives on that island were hurrying up. They weren't tarrying. They were in a hurry, amen, to make it to higher ground. But this man had no idea as to what a tidal wave could do. So invariably, he took his time to evacuate. The natives, they had seen tidal waves before. Many of their loved ones had been killed by these waves, so they didn't waste any time to get to higher ground. The manager of the hotel came back again to this man's room and told the man he had to evacuate. This time the man said, "Look, I paid for this room. I don't want to leave all of my belongings in this room. I'd rather just ride the storm out." This man allowed his nature to rise up in him. I'm talking about that part of us that says, "I don't want to be told what to do." Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so for this same reason, many of us refuse Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. And as the story goes on, this man lost his life in that storm because he refused to listen to somebody that knew the power of the storm. And my brothers and sisters, before you tune Pastor Garner out, understand that a storm is coming. And if we're not careful, amen, if you're caught in this storm without Jesus as Lord of your life, I've come by on this Sunday morning to tell you that we will perish. He wants to be Lord. So yes, salvation is free, but lordship has cost. Amen. I want to share with you some of the cost of making Jesus the Lord of your life. In economics, we have a term called opportunity cost. And opportunity costs are the costs associated with accepting a foregone conclusion. In other words, if I spend $8 on lunch, the opportunity costs are determined by what I had to give up for the lunch. The opportunity cost would be the gospel song that I wanted to download on Spotify or Amazon. Amen. The opportunity cost would be the movie that I could have seen. The opportunity cost is the interest that I could have accrued by depositing that same $8 in the bank. And I want to suggest to you this morning that there are opportunity costs associated with lordship. Because when you allow Jesus to be Lord of your life, you got to give up some things. Do I have a witness today? When you accept the lordship of Christ, you also decide to give up some things that you would have ordinarily accepted with open arms. The opportunity cost of having Christ as Lord for you can be the all-night party that you could have gone to because you made up in your mind, "I'm going to be at church on time in the morning." The opportunity cost of having Christ as Lord can be the one-night stand that you would have easily jumped into. The opportunity cost of having Christ as Lord can be the staying at home instead of coming to the Lord's Supper service. The opportunity cost of having Christ as Lord can be a diminished ego because you turn the other cheek instead of cussing them out. And you know the old you would have cussed them out, but now that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you held in what you ordinarily would have let out. I know I got some witnesses in the house. Whatever they may be in your life, when one chooses to allow Jesus to be the Lord of their life, there are opportunity calls. It's just like when you're dating night after night, day after day, for weeks on end, you spent your spare time with your loved one at great cost. Your hobbies languished. Your exercise programs floundered. Other friendships were put on hold. Don't y'all act like you ain't ever been in love. Even your job suffered. All to be with the one you love. So many things in my life that I would have done had not Christ demanded that he be Lord of my life. So many places I would have gone had not Christ demanded that he be Lord of my life. And my brothers and sisters, you need to recognize that the devil wants to keep you from acknowledging the lordship of Christ. And you may not realize it, but every time you do what the devil entices you to do through your lust and your imaginations, you deny the lordship of Christ. And I come by to tell you, that's serious business. Because God is determined to prove that his son Jesus is Lord. He is determined to prove that Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is gonna bow of those who are in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that brings us to our second point. Not only is there a cost to lordship, but I want to talk about the proof of lordship. You will notice that in the verse we just read, it says, first of all, every knee shall bow, and then every tongue confess. You're going to bow and then confess. You're going to do it before you talk about it. You're going to bow and then confess. So we find that the proof of lordship is obedience. Because there are a whole lot of people running around confessing Jesus as Lord, but their lives are not manifesting any evidence of his lordship. That's why Jesus asked in Luke 6 and 46, why do you even call me Lord and don't do what I say? In our text, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. But before we will obey God, far too often we would rather reject God and what he has to say. So many times the Lord speaks to us through his prophets, as he told Samuel, Samuel, don't be discouraged. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And how awful it is for us to get caught up in flesh and blood, in the person we see and hear, so much so that we are unable to hear the voice of God. Somebody's tuning me out right now because you're saying in the back of your mind, I know Reverend Garner. I ain't got to listen to Reverend Garner because I know Reverend Garner. Amen. But I come by to tell you that God speaks through mysterious things. God speaks in mysterious ways. He got in a jackass and told Balaam to straighten himself up. So before you tune anybody out, you better wake up and realize that God is sovereign. He uses who he wants. He does things the way he wants. Is there anybody in here who understands that God is sovereign? Give him praise. Just like children, when mama says, don't touch the stove, the first response is to do what? Touch the stove. God told Adam and Eve to eat from any tree in the garden, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they weren't satisfied until they had eaten a great chunk from the tree of good and evil. Our nature is to be rebellious. Our nature is to do contrary stuff. And then we wonder why bad things happen in our lives. We wonder why the bottom keeps falling out when we refuse to obey God. Our hearts are cleverly deceitful, and wicked above all things. And that's why we have to be born again. That's why we have to say, Lord, create within me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. We've got to be born into the family of God. Let me see if I can help you see this better. When we look at the cross of Jesus, we notice that it has both a horizontal and a vertical effect. Horizontal, side to side. Vertical, straight up and down. The horizontal axis represents Christ as our Savior. He brings us into the family of God. Horizontally, his arms are open wide. The horizontal axis represents his coming down to our level. Is anybody glad to know that Christ became what we are so that we could become what he is? But the vertical axis of the cross, straight up and down, denotes lordship. And the way we honor his lordship is by rebuking self, yielding to the will of Christ in our lives. We have to learn to put self in its place. Is there anybody who knows self will mess you up? And so the proof of Christ's lordship in the life of the believer is obedience. I don't care how much you wave your hand if you don't obey the word of God. I don't care how many departments and auxiliaries you serve on if you don't obey the will of God. And I've stopped by to tell you that a whole lot of folk who think they're going to grace the wonderful streets of gold are going to be in for a big surprise because they have disobeyed the very voice of God. And one thing I've discovered that we know when God is speaking. I don't care if he's speaking through a jackass. We have enough sense, and for the kids, that's a donkey. That's just another name for a donkey. Amen. We have enough sense to know that when it's God and when it's our imagination. I don't care if the word comes through a little shepherd boy named David. We know when God is speaking because his voice rings loud in our souls. His voice unsettles our securities and it shakes up our false confidence. The proof of his lordship, amen, is obedience. My last and final point is that not only does lordship have cost, and not only is the proof of lordship obedience, but I also want to let you know that lordship has benefits. Oh my, thank God for the benefits. You see, we can never truly experience the blessings of the Lord until we acknowledge that he is Lord and allow him to establish his kingdom in our lives. And we need to understand that more than just confessing the lordship, we have to believe in our hearts that he is Lord. That's why the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you want the blessings of the Lord, you've got to not only confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you also have to believe it deep down in your heart. I know I'm in Bible country, because in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2, there was a leper who had to acknowledge that he is Lord before he could be made whole. The Bible says that he came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, thou canst make me clean. I know I'm in Bible country, because in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 6, there was a centurion who had to acknowledge his lordship before his servant could be healed of the palsy. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but if you will just speak the word, my servant will be healed. I know I'm in Bible country, because in Matthew 8 and 25,
his disciples had to acknowledge his lordship before he calmed the raging sea. I know I'm in Bible country because in Matthew 14 and 28, Peter had to acknowledge his lordship before he could walk out on the water. In Matthew 15 and 22, there was a woman of Canaan, and she had to acknowledge his lordship before her demon-possessed daughter could be set free. And I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but I need a blessing from the Lord. And so I'm not so proud, I'm not so egotistical that I'm not willing to say he is Lord. Is there anybody here this morning? You know that he is Lord. How do I know he's Lord? I know it because he woke me up this morning. I know it because he put food on my table. I know it because he put clothes on my back. He put running in my feet. He put clapping in my hands. He put joy in my heart. He is Lord. I said he is Lord. If you know he's Lord, go on and give him praise. If you know he's Lord, go on and celebrate and watch him work it out. Watch him fix it. Watch him heal your body. Watch him save your children. Watch him make a way out of no way. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Give him praise. Give him praise.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.